What I'm doing this morning is something really quite basic, and there's no apologies for that. We're doing this course in a couple of weeks' time, and it's a rather basic course. It looks at some of the most basic things about Christianity. It's about exploring. Maybe as a youngster you were off exploring somewhere, or maybe you read about an explorer, and we as Christians can explore too. Just because we're looking at something basic doesn't mean to say we can switch off and think this isn't for me. But we need to be Christians who explore our faith deeper. And so maybe we have some questions we want to ask as well. Maybe there's a question in your heart you've always wanted to ask and never had the opportunity to do it. And the Christianity Explored course is the opportunity to ask those questions. And so with that course in mind that's coming up in a couple of weeks' time, I want to think about how we as a church, not just the workers or the leader or the people who are teaching on that night, it's not just about them, but it's how you could be involved, the church, in this thing that we are doing as a church. Our text for the course is actually the Gospel of Mark, the whole Gospel. And so because our church is running this course, and there will be leaders and helpers who have specific tasks on that, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything to do. In fact, it's something very important for you to do. As Christians, I think we're meant to explore our faith and get as much out of it as we can so we can understand it and explain it to others. But we are to explore it, we are to discover new things within it, and we are to put it into practice. We are to be practicing Christians. And this is where you can help us, because in preparation for this course, we are sharing some principles this morning behind the material. And as I say, some of this is very basic, but don't switch off. Listen, we can all learn something new. Our reading for this morning, which was read for us this morning by Tom, was from Paul's last letter that he ever wrote before he died, before he was martyred for his faith, 2 Timothy. And he's in prison, and he's facing a martyr's death. And so what you find here in this letter is not something, it is something that you will not find in any church in the Western world as I understand it. There are Christians around the world today who are being persecuted and are being put to death for their faith, but I don't think anyone here is in that situation. But that's the difference, we've just got to remember that. As he's writing this, he knows that soon he will die for his faith. People will put him to death because he believes in Jesus Christ. And I want to let you in on this too this morning. It's about suffering for the gospel, if necessary. Would you be willing to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ? There are many millions of people around the world who are doing that right now. Today, this morning, being persecuted, suffering, being put to death for their faith. And so there's something important we have to do. We have to guard this gospel. We have to protect it. We have to pass it on. And in short, it's about, this passage is the preparation for us running a Christianity Explored course and understanding three important things. Firstly, being committed to the Bible. Being committed to the Bible. Now, that's just about as basic as you get, isn't it? Telling Christians they really got to read their Bible and be committed to it. If we are committed to the message of the Word of God, the message of the Bible, then the gospel that we share with others will have power. Do you believe that is true? I hope so. If we share the gospel with others, the message has power. A couple of weeks ago, before I went on holiday, what I said on that occasion, again, about this course, is our firm belief that if we do what we do, God will do what only He can do. And so as we share the gospel, we're not thinking that it's something powerful in us or having a competent speaker, or as opposed to someone who stumbles through a testimony, yeah? Somehow or other, when we do it honestly, the power of God works through that, and He brings life And all we've got to do is just sow the seed. And what we sow, God will make, he will make it grow. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, Paul says that he's in chains for the gospel. He's in a Roman prison. And let me just read that for you, in fact. 2 Timothy 2, verse 9. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. And then he adds this lovely phrase, it's coming up here just now, but God's word is not chained. God's word is not confined. It is not restricted. It is not held up in any way that prevents it from doing what it was meant to do. God's word is not bound. It is not chained. And you have this strange irony here that Paul has been imprisoned for at least three occasions, and each successive one is worse than the one before. The first one was just a house arrest where he had a lot of liberty and people could come and bring him food and he could write and he could talk with people. It was just a house arrest. But this one is a very dangerous one. This is very difficult. And yet he says the gospel is not imprisoned. It's not confined. It's not bound. And so being a committed Christian, believing the Bible means both incredible freedom and, here's the tension, limitations. It means incredible freedom and limitations. And Paul's my example of that. There he is, he's in prison. So he's confined, he is limited as a Christian, and yet he says the word of God is not bound, it's free. This great tension that you find over and over again in the word of God, we find it so many stories, endless. Let me mention just a few. Israel, God's chosen nation, how many years did they spend in bondage in Egypt? How many was it? Years in bondage and slavery in Egypt. 400 years altogether. And yet God was not imprisoned. How can that be? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, yet God, who is no one's slave, was with him in prison. Or what about Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den? And he had nothing to fear because God was with him. So many people have been confined, suffered limitations, imprisoned, but God's word is not like that. And it's this tension between our limitations and incredible freedom. In Acts chapter 6, Paul and Silas are chained up behind bars in prison in Philippi. And while they're there, they're praying and they're singing hymns about midnight, it says. And what the passage there tells us is that what seemed like an earthquake took place and it shook the whole building. And as it shakes, they can't believe their eyes, but the gates of the prison open and chains fall off their wrists or their ankles or wherever they were chained, and they were free. You remember Wesley's great hymn, and he personalizes it, doesn't he? My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And I think that you know a little bit about that. You know, some of you understand what that means. Some of you have come here today, and there's been limitations upon you. Maybe it's physical limitations. Maybe it's many kinds. Maybe it's something in your thinking, your mind, your psyche. And you think, I'm imprisoned. I can't break free from this thing. And there's a bondage. But I want you to know this morning that this word is free. It is not bound. And so if you believe this word, you believe in something that is a key that opens stuff for us. And it is that part of this being committed to the Bible. There is some part of it that where we lose our freedom and we gain a tremendous liberty. There's this tension between both of them. For the sake of the gospel, are we willing to be confined so that we might know its true liberty? And perhaps it's a tension that some people here are struggling with right now. I think of John imprisoned on the island of Patmos. He was imprisoned there. That was his confinement. And while he was there, there was a grand purpose in it all, because he was free enough to see this vision of Christ, and he was enabled to write the Revelation, the book we know as the Revelation, which was one of the bookends of the Word of God, the other one being Genesis. Genesis to Revelation, these bookends, and here's John confined on an island, and yet he is free to write that remarkable Revelation. And what we commit ourselves to, it will mean a certain amount of discomfort. Maybe that's the limitation some people experience. Are we willing to put ourselves out for the gospel? Are we willing in some situation here in the West, like Paul, to be imprisoned in some fashion or other for the sake of Christ, who died for us? Well, such is our commitment to the Bible and its way of life. And I simply ask, are you amongst those willing to do that? And that's some of the most basic things we could ever ask of anyone, a commitment to the Bible. Secondly, a commitment to prayer. And I think this can be a very difficult one for some people. It's important that we ask those who it's important that we pray for those who are going to come to our Christianity Explored course. Can you help us as a church to do that, to really pray for those people, that their eyes would be opened, they would see, they would understand their faith better? Paul said here in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. That's quite a commitment, isn't it? Night and day. He was praying for these people all the time. I like the way someone once described prayer. They put it like this: prayer is the exchange of confidence between God and his people. And so as I pray, I'm showing confidence in him. And God, as he listens, is showing confidence in me, his son, his adopted son. This confidence in one another as we pray. So prayer says, I'm confident in the power of the gospel to change the lives of people. And sometimes prayer is our way of earnestly seeking God. So many people have really just been looking for God, and they start off by praying. And not surprisingly, way back in Genesis, at the very beginning of time, chapter 4, 26, we're told back then that people, once people had fallen into sin, the people began to call upon the name of the Lord. It was the first reference of people seeking God. They were seeking him with all their heart. And we believe in sharing the gospel with others. And without prayer, there is no power. There is no power without that. And when we really pray, we are showing a commitment, a working together as the Church of Jesus Christ. The easy option is to adopt the opinion, let others do it because they're much better than I am. And we find that a lot, don't we? I think that goes on. I came across this verse in my devotional recently.